Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God, and we're in our participation series, which was started because of the fact that I read an interesting article by someone by the name of Brandon Smith, and I thought I would share that article with you, and you can find a link to that article at preparingyou.com, and just look for non-participation, and there's a search engine, and I'm sure you'll find it. And you'll know you're on the page because it has a picture that he has on his article of sheep that look like sheep shorn with one black sheep in the midst of them. So anyway, that'll take you to the article on altmarket.com, and you can read his article there. And we've been reading along with him in that article and what he has to write and making comments on it so that you can kind of see it in the context of the message of the kingdom, which was delivered to the people by Jesus Christ and John the Baptist and the early church, which is quite a bit different than what you often hear in your modern church. So anyway, in the last session three, we're in session four now, he talked a little bit about money, and I said I would talk about money. He says, who really controls the money and thus the economy and thus the politics of this country? Well, in a free country, you control the money. You don't control the money by giving the power to control the money to somebody else. And so you wouldn't give the power to Congress or the president or the king or the parliament to control the money. And if you didn't give it to them, they couldn't give it to somebody else. You would have control. But of course, that means you have to take the responsibility. So what you would do is contact every silversmith and goldsmith and silver miner in the country, and you would encourage them to make coin based on certain weights and measures, which are fairly standard. Now, the government could have the responsibility of standardizing weights and measures and say, this is an ounce, this is a gram, this is whatever weights or measures you want to use, and there's so many grams in an ounce, and we already have that pretty well established. But the value of an ounce of silver or an ounce of gold or an ounce of copper, that's determined by the people in what we call the market. And they would make the coins. And if anybody stamped their coin saying this is an ounce of 999 fine silver, and it was not, it was actually lead with silver plating on it, that would be counterfeiting. That would be, what crime would you be committing in the Ten Commandments if you did that? Well, it would be the crime of bearing false witness. You would say it was an ounce of silver, and it was actually an ounce of lead. And if you knew it was an ounce of lead with silver coating, and you stamped it an ounce of silver, you bore false witness. And to whatever extent you harmed people with that false witness, you could be held accountable by the law, and you would be judged by the judge of the court. Now, who was the judge of the court under the common law? Was it the judge who sat up there in black robes? There actually wasn't judges in black robes. There was a jury of your peers, and they would say, you know, you did a dishonest thing, and now you've done an injury, and now you have to pay back. And you will also be ostracized from society. And so the money, the supply of money, would be in the hands of the people. But of course now, in a free society, the people love each other as much as they love themselves, and they are working together for the good of all because they are not selfish, parasitical socialists. They are loving, independent, free will socialists. In other words, they supply the social benefaction of society through free will offerings, not through the point of a gun. So anyway, that's how you produce money. And you can also produce notes. Like if you're a wheat farmer, you can make up notes and say, you know, Joe, I need this part for my tractor, and I don't have the money right now. Normally I have it saved up, but it's been pretty rough. Can you give me the part, and I promise to bring you a bushel of grain when my crop comes in? You could do that, and if your tractor supplier guy wanted to do that, and he says, well, he's, you know, it's only worth, you know, 3/4 of a bushel. But, yeah, but I'm taking a risk, so he agrees to pay me a bushel, so he gives me a note. And now that note is a piece of paper that says Farmer Brown will give whoever is the bearer of this note a bushel of grain in the spring. And so the parts guy could give it to somebody else. And if they were to accept it, but this is choices that the people are making. And they're trusting Father Brown. And they're trusting Joe, the parts dealer. And somebody else far off who maybe have made the part, he's not going to be as trusting, and you have to give him something of substance. But you have developed a business trust where he will trust you. And you can use notes, and you could have banks that would issue a note. And you say, well, I have a local bank, and it's connected with this bank over here. And if you bring your note to me and say that you want me to, way over here at this other branch, to give him an ounce of gold, I will do it based on the word of the guy in your bank. Except for you wouldn't have to use banks. You could use something posing as banks, and that would be a credit union. A credit union could do that. It could trust, you know, one credit union trust another credit union and know that you have X amount of funds on deposit in this bank, and you have another bank over here that trusts you, and he has to pay somebody over here. And so you say, well, you know, I'll trust you that you will eventually send me an ounce of gold, and I'll cover this expenditure, and he will mail off the parts that you need. And we think, well, that was so complicated and so hard. It's not any more complicated than what you do now. It's just more honest. And it seems complicated, and like, how would we ever start this, is because you haven't done it in so long. But I have a little grandson who's learning to walk, and he's just got so that you can hold his hand out away from the couch and take your hands away, and he'll stand there for a minute. And he might even take a step. But he isn't really walking around well. But if he holds onto the couch, he walks all over the place. If he holds onto your finger, he walks all over the place. But to let go, he's not ready to do that. But he's practicing. You need to practice. We would love to help everybody start a His Church credit union. Because a credit union is not a bank. A credit union doesn't charge interest. You say, well, wait a minute. All the credit union I have charges interest. Well, I shouldn't say interest. It doesn't charge usury. Because a credit union can't make a profit. It can't make a profit off of what it charges you for a loan. It's not doing it for gain. It's doing it to pay the bills. And doing it so that it would also be able to forgive debt. The regular bank can't do that. But a credit union could. Now, there's so much you could do with a credit union, but it might be a step in the other direction. Your board of directors in a credit union can't take a salary. Just like the credit unions back at the time of Jesus Christ. Yeah, there were credit unions back at the time of Jesus Christ, and they didn't call them credit unions. They called them something else. But they were a way in which they loaned money and helped people out and provided a way in which to exchange funds over large areas without having to carry funds from every time you made a purchase a long ways off. You had this network by which you could do it. And you don't know how those things work because you're not taught those, but that's the way it really was. But anyway, there's a lot of other revolutionary ideas that the early church was doing. I believe that in Acts 6, that's actually what they were doing with the 7 men they chose. Still to this day, most credit unions have 7 board of directors. And I can show you stories in Ephesus of Christians who were doing exactly that. And why in Ephesus? Because the temple at Ephesus was the World Bank, and they accused Christians of robbing it. Why? Because they were doing something different. And we need to do that too. And it's not about not participating in the system as much as it is about participating in this other system of the perfect law of liberty, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and really the gospel of Moses and Abraham. But anyway, his article reads on under this section, revolution must be directed at the oligarchs, not just their mascots. And if anyone asks you to rally around a revolution that does not name the central banking and international banking entities and the men who run them as direct culprits, they're probably controlled opposition. We don't need a French Bolshevik revolution to replace old puppets with new puppets. We need to go to the very heart of the cancer that has stricken our nation and remove it. If this means we have to physically fight back, then so be it. But we must be smart in how we fight. Now, I'm not sure how he says to fight yet, but his idea of replacing old puppets with new puppets, I'll give you a sample of what Christ said. We don't want to put new wine in old wineskins. He was doing something completely different than what they were doing at that time, not completely different than what we see in other times, but it'd been a long time since anybody had done what Christ had done in quite the same way. Moses had. Others had not. So anyway, let's go on and read and find out. As I told you, I haven't even read this whole article, but I found it fascinating and interesting enough to continue. But he says here, in what appears to be his last paragraph of the article, in the end, the average citizen is his own defender, his own governor, his own industrialist, his own kingmaker. He may consciously realize this, or he may be oblivious. All of the solutions, all of the tools are right there in his hands, waiting to be used. The saddest truth of all is that the only thing holding him back from legitimate freedom is his own fear. Only when we stop avoiding the pain required to procure independence will we finally have it. And yes, avoiding the pain makes the pain last longer. We need to repent. We need to turn around. We need to go the other way. I've given you examples. He thinks that we have to name the banks. Well, everybody knows, you know, I guess everybody doesn't know, but there is the Jekyll Island story and the story of the Federal Reserve. Ron Paul talks about it, audit the Fed, all these kinds of things that go on. And those are part of your education. But again, the problem, if you think it's the bankers, you're going to be missing the solution, because the problem is you. You're the problem. You're slothful. You lack knowledge. You aren't diligent in the ways of Christ, in the ways of Abraham, in the ways of Moses. And so therefore, you should be under tribute. You should not be free, and you will not be free until you repent and go back to the ways of God, the ways of Christ, and the ways of righteousness. It doesn't mean that you don't take care of the needy. It means you do. You just do it through free will offerings. You are now the priests without guns. Each and every one of you are the ministers of society who do not shoot their neighbor or threaten their neighbor if they don't want to contribute. Doesn't want to contribute, he doesn't have to contribute. But then you don't have to take care of him in his hour of need, or when you take care of him, you get to choose how you do it, because you live in a free society. A lot of people think that such a society is impossible, so therefore they never do anything. They never seek it. They never go that way. But that is a mistake. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to go that way and seek the righteousness of God. So anyway, I wrote an article about what he had to say before I even read the whole article, because we just finished the whole article. And I thought it was very good. And I thought it was very much on a kingdom perspective. And so I shared it with you, and it gave me a platform in which to talk about the kingdom. Now, I write in the article that I wrote in conjunction with this, or at least the words I wrote in conjunction with this, is that it's an interesting article. that advocates the approach of non-participation. And again, a lot of people think non-participation has something to do with starving the beast or not contributing or paying your taxes, and that's not the case. You have probably no right to refuse to pay your taxes. You have every right to start learning to take care of yourself and literally take the burden off the government. Somebody in the commentaries of that article, and I probably ought to go down and read, I actually commented, somewhere down there you'll find my commentaries on the article, but it's a blog kind of thing, and so they have a number of different statements here, and I could probably go through them and pull some of them up, but they talk about different people in different parts of Texas and different places. One fellow, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about, one fellow talks about Brandon has outlined the proper path. If that path leads many, like the Branch Davidians, to give the ultimate sacrifice, that is not unexpected. He goes on, I think he also is the one that talks about the Mormons or whatever, or maybe somebody else mentions them, that the Mormon families were all arrested and their properties were, businesses were destroyed. Well, they weren't doing what Christ said, okay? I just might as well get that right out there in the open. I'm not saying that there won't be any persecution if you do what is right. There probably will be. But there will be intervention, divine intervention. And even if there isn't, to do it the way Christ said, that's worthy. And the way Christ said was that you don't isolate yourself off into some solitary community where you give somebody else the power over your community and over decisions in your community or anything like that. Now, you may form a community by moving near each other. One of the first magazines I ever published an article for was a magazine by the name of The Iconoclast. And I wrote, the article was on community, not commune. And a commune is where somehow or other you have a common purse. And the Bible talks about that. The way of one purse runs towards evil, towards death, towards destruction. And you're trapped in that. So you don't have one purse. What do we mean by one purse? Well, obviously not socialist, not communist, but not giving your power of choice into the hands of an individual to choose on your behalf. Now, to some degree, you do that in the principle of the living altars of God that Abraham, Moses, and Jesus Christ set up. You give a contribution to somebody you trust, and he has total say-so over this. It's much different than the Protestant churches who say, oh, well, I'm going to give money to the church, and then he runs around and gets on the church board, and he decides how the money is spent. So he hasn't really given it up. He's still in control of it. Now, he kind of does eventually if that money is spent on charitable purposes, but the reality is it's very important that when you give it up without strings attached. If you pick men to manage this charitable institution of the church, you have to give to them and let them make the decision. Now, how they make that decision, you watch. And that will tell you whether you give the next time or not. And you pray about it to God. It's still your choice. You never give up your right to choose. I repeat this because it's so revolutionary. You have to hear it more than once to get it to sink in. This is the key to freedom in the world. The Branch Davidians isolated themselves. They were involved in a lot of things that I wouldn't think was a good deal. I think they got a raw deal. I mean, I could go into the, I actually know people who went there during the conflict and talked to people that actually knew them and interacted on a very local basis. And there's a lot of stuff that went on behind the scenes that most people are completely unaware of. But the fact is, they weren't doing what Christ did. What Christ did, what Moses did, is they taught the people not only how to take care of themselves, and even what John the Baptist did, but they taught them how to help take care of the rest of society. If they were homeschooling, they were also taking the burdens off the public schools. They were still paying their property tax, so they were still supporting the schools, but they were teaching their kids at their home and not burdening the school. They had needs, like occasionally somebody might need welfare or help or assistance. They didn't go on the government dole and drain the government treasury. they took care of it themselves. And when their neighbors and the strangers in their midst who weren't really a part of their congregations and network of congregations had needs, they showed up to help them too. Two reasons why this is good. One is it's a great outreach and you'll get more people that join in with you when they see that. Two, they can hardly say that you're taking advantage of some sort of tax break that the church has or something, because you're actually out doing the job of Caesar and taking care of others and helping others. You will win their love, their respect, their honor, and they will come to your defense in time of need. And some of them will convert and say, you know, I want to trust in God instead of this system that is collapsing all about me. You have to start somewhere. You have to start laying down your life somewhere. And of course, that was the plan of Christ. That's not what some of these other groups, they were isolating their communities. They were getting their little congregation to look to them, to sit for hours and listen to them and go on and on about the Bible. Now, this is what my fourth hour making these recordings and broadcasts today. I just go on and on and I'm saying the same thing and from different points of view a lot of times, but the same thing over and over again. But that's not going to do you any good until you yourself become a participator, a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And that's what we have, this problem of people talking about it, but not doing it. And of course, many people say, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. You can do what you can do. And you need to do it. And you need to do it locally. And you need to do it in communion with others who are seeking to do it too. That's up to you. You have to start doing something. You have to be that doer of the word. And it can start real small and it can get real big, but it's up to you. So that's really important to understand that as you go through this process of becoming a participator in the righteous mammon. Jesus didn't say thumb your nose at the unrighteous mammon. And maybe we'll talk about mammon a little bit. Mammon, entrusted wealth. That's what it comes from. Ammon, entrusted wealth. And that's what you do in most governments. You give your wealth to them and you trust them to take care of you in time of need, to be your benefactor. But you've given them the right to take from you. And that gives them power, and that power corrupts them, and then you're surprised that they're corrupt. Well, of course they're corrupt. In my article, I say he begins by everyone talking about silver bullets. We saw that in the first show. Or someone else doing it for them while they merely sit back and complain. Boy, have you ever seen that happen before? That, of course, is not the way freedom works. Freedom works means you got to come with your sleeves rolled up. He makes it clear that there is a problem with our dependence on the very government that people think has too much power. He has merely stumbled upon the truth spoken of for thousands of years by wise men and prophets. Plutarch, and I quote him here, "The real destroyers of liberties of the people is he who spreads amongst them bounties, donations, and benefits." Why? Because society based on covetousness is not based on love. That's it. It's flat out. If your society is based on forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, there is no forgiveness there and there is no love there. So there's no giving in love and forgiving. And this will destroy your society. It will erode the people. Why? Because a society based on that covetousness is not based on love. Simple as that. Proverbs 23:1-3. "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee." When they offered you these benefits, every preacher in the land should have been reading you Proverbs, as well as "Thou shalt not covet," as well as "What agreement do you have with people who don't believe in love, but believe in force?" They should have been reading John the Baptist. It said, until John the Baptist, everybody tried to establish their government by force. But John the Baptist said, if you have something to share, share it with those who have real needs. And put a knife to thy throat, it says. If a ruler offers you something to eat, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meats. There is a simple solution to all this, and we've been going over it, but we'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom in just a moment.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me. And many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. Let's see, this is show 4 of the participation series, which started with an article on non-participation, and we'll do 5 shows in this series, and we'll eventually get into property rights and talk about how you've lost your property rights because you've been slothful. And so we'll have all these things put together in a series, and people are hearing us in Las Vegas. If you're listening to us in Las Vegas, you should be gathering together with others in Las Vegas. So you go to the Living Network, get on that network, and ask if there's anybody else in Las Vegas, and we try to connect you up with them. If you can't find anybody in Las Vegas, you can find people in Southern California, and there are some people in New Mexico, and there are some people in Colorado. And it's like pulling teeth sometimes to get these people to come out of their shell, come out of their little personal box, and connect with other people and converse. And then we try to get more and more people. And then I can announce, you know, once we get to know you and you get to know us, and you try to form a congregation of record, then we will announce to people that we know somebody in Las Vegas. I have met some people from Las Vegas. I've talked to others, but God lets me remember all these things, but I can't remember names. I absolutely cannot remember, kind of a vague recollection of the ones that came all the way up here. But you have to gather together, and you remember each other's names. It's about you participating in the way that Christ wants you to live, and learning what it means to be a doer of the word. You will not be able to save yourself or anybody else, but God, through you, will do miracles. And this is what it's about, is persevering into the end and doing that diligently, not going to church to feel good, but to do good. So anyway, it says in Proverbs 23:1-3, when thou sittest and eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat. If thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his dainties, his benefits, his gifts, gratuities, and benefits, for they are deceitful meats. You will be snared. What should have been for your welfare will become a snare. And of course, that's where it is. So now the way back is to come and sit with brothers and share your meats. You know, when John the Baptist said, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. And he says, do also likewise in meats and other benefits. He's giving you an example. It means with everything. And your congregation is just the means by which you can do this in a network called the Kingdom of God, or we call the Living Network. Your whole body is a living network, and the body of Christ is a living network. I can't determine who's in the body in Christ and who's not. I'm not some kind of pope. But God will, but he will determine this by what you do. And Christ goes through detailed parables about the ones that get you from me, you workers of iniquity, but you come in because of what you're doing and what you've chosen to do. So there is a simple solution, but simple does not mean quick, easy, nor does it mean cheap. He's not the first to discover this, is Brandon Smith. But history has shown over the centuries, when men find themselves in this bondage and subject to tyrants and pharaohs and Caesars of the world, or growing in tyranny, it is the only solution. Men must create change by becoming the change they wish to see in others. You gotta step out first. No excuses. Before I mention the great success of history that set whole nations free and how simple it was to do it, let's revisit our terminology used in describing the problem. Now, he talks about Big Brother, and I say the problem is not Big Brother, but the problem is your sugar daddy. Making your government your daddy, this government that exercises authority, your daddy, to run or apply to in order to obtain benefits every time you need help, has been advised against throughout the ages. Too many people have accepted the notion that the government is their great benefactor, and that's simply not true. In truth, the government of the world is not a benefactor at all, because it never gives you anything that it has. It only gives you what it takes away from somebody else. Therefore, you cannot apply for a benefit without desiring the goods of your neighbor. They do it as your agent, so you don't have to hear the pig squeal, but the pig is stuck just the same. The nature of that covetous attitude of society was warned against too. So the modern rulers of government, calling themselves benefactors, but exercising authority one over the other, have made the people human resources, surety for debt, literally merchandise, collateral. That very famous individual who, and I write it this way in the article, who told his followers that they were not to be that way, not to look to men who exercise authority one over the others, not to be like the other governments of the Gentiles, was just teaching what another famous individual had done over 1,000 years before. To free a whole nation from a condition almost identical to the present times. I spent the last half century learning and writing about the solution that has worked before, and those books that we publish are all attainable for free online on our website at hisholychurch.org. But if you want help finding out where they are exactly, join the Living Network at thelivingnetwork.com, which will take you to preparing you and to the network pages there. And then you join a local group, and there are people who can show you where these things are. But if you're not interested in joining one of those groups, I have to kind of assume you don't really care about your neighbors as much as you care about yourself. Oh, I don't want to join a group. I just want the answer. I just want somebody to send me the answer in the mail. You know, I just want to download it for free on the net. I don't want to deal with other people, you know. I mean, what are the widows and orphans to me? I don't really want to waste my time helping you. Who are you? You should be a slave. You should be in bondage. You should go down with the ship with the other rats. I have no interest in helping you. I'm helping you by telling you right now you need to be rebuked. You need to repent. That's the help you need. You need to be smacked upside the head or kicked in the derriere so that you realize you need some serious repenting. Anyway, I go on and I say, in fact, he and those who came before and after him, referring to this famous personage, I'm doing this on the Preparing You site, so I'm not saying that I'm talking about Christ and Moses, but I am, and I eventually say that. The people, if you mention Christ and Moses and church, and they all think, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with the church, you know, I can't stand all that singing, and, you know, well, that's not what the church was about. That's what the modern church is about, making you feel good. It's a show. Hey, everybody, let's feel good. But that's not what it's about. It's about being good, being doers of the word. That's what Jesus said. Now, they say, oh, don't worry about what Jesus said. Let's just look at what Paul said. Let's take Paul out of the context of Jesus, even though Paul says, I preached his gospel first, and now I'm explaining to you how it works. You never learn how it works, so you haven't got a clue what he was talking about when you read Paul. And we show you this. We have a whole series on Romans and other epistles of Paul. We take you through it step by step. And it's only going to cost you $9.95. No, it's not going to cost you anything. You can download it for free because it's free, you know. It's free. It didn't cost you anything to make all those audios. It didn't cost your family anything for me to make all those audios and put them up on the net for you for free. So it is free. But you owe somebody if you use them. You just have to decide who you owe. And you have to pay in the way that he wants you to pay. You don't owe me anything. Because I'm not working for you. I'm working for Jesus. And he knows it. But anyway, in fact, he, Jesus, and those who came before and after him, for centuries, told us that the system of social welfare set up by the government and supported by taxes made his word of none effect. That system was called Corban in Judea, called Corban with a Q in Rome, called Corban in the Quran with a K, at least when they transliterate it. And it's where you sacrifice to take care of the needy of your society. The difference is only the church established by Jesus Christ does this with free will offerings. Actually, I find in places in the Quran where they actually say, you know, that this is supposed to be free offerings, free will offerings too. But if you actually go to the Muslims in France, you think the Muslims in France are not using the welfare system in France? or the Muslims in New York don't use the welfare system that is offered by the government of the United States, or the Muslims in Toronto are not actually using the welfare systems of the state instead of the Corban of Christ, the Corban of Moses, and probably the Corban of Muhammad. I don't really know. I never met Muhammad. But I can tell you this, from the beginning, the prophets have said that this Corban has to be free will offerings, free will sacrifices, not forced offerings. And now you know the problem. Problem is, people don't want to give up their benefits. I can find lots of people don't want to pay into the benefits. I mean, that's easy to find. Who wants to pay in and provide the true benefits for themselves and their society through free will offerings? I tell you, if you do that, things will change. If you don't do that, things will change too, but not for the better. The man's name was Yeshua, I finally get around to telling you, who we know as Jesus. He told us not to covet, and to come together, and to love, providing for one another with charity. His predecessors told us to share rather than force our neighbor to give to us. So, it is not enough to simply not take the benefits of men who exercise authority. It is certainly not the path to refuse to pay what you owe. You must become the benefactors of society through what is called the perfect law of liberty. Yes, we have to learn to stand independent, but also together. There is a simple way to do that, and it has been done before in history. But that story will not be taught in your public schools. It is taught in our books. We show you examples. If you look at the footnotes, you'll find Enterprise of Law and other books like that that will, you know, by scholars who will tell you the history of these voluntary societies. We are familiar with those stories, but they are never taught in the true context of history. What I'm referring to now is the stories in Israel. Israel, free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. That's how they ran their government. That's how they supported their army. That's how they took care of famine and failures and pestilence and everything else. Free will offerings, people helping people, made them stronger as a nation. It's the way the early Americans did it in the colonies. They didn't have anybody else to depend upon but themselves. And they survived. And those who didn't learn that died. That simple. And they didn't face, as hard as things were for them, they didn't face what you're going to have to face. And not by a long shot. We will link to a lot of other articles probably on that page that I'm reading from. This is our non-participation page I'm preparing you. It is the story of Moses who freed thousands while they paid their taxes, their tally of bricks, but stopped applying to the Pharaoh for their benefits, their leeks and onions and straw and all these other things that he would provide. And they not only found success in that for themselves, but they had enough success left over, like the loaves and fishes, enough left over that they could have, and they did, give much to the Egyptians, especially those Egyptians who liked them. Some of them actually went with them. They had a benevolent effect because they were benevolent. They gleaned amongst themselves for their benefits that were provided through charity in a network of people that began to figure out how to operate in a free society. This was little different than what Abraham was doing after he had left Ur and Haran, but most people have no idea what his altars were and how they worked. A gathering of stones in Hebrew is a gathering of friends, and that's what you need to be. A gathering of people who love one another. The same for John the Baptist and Jesus and the early church. They provided all the social welfare for their network of small, intimate congregations that cared enough about the next congregation as they cared about themselves. And that loving care bound them together. So when the Roman Empire began to collapse, they had a network of love and hope and diligence to be there for them. This is the way early Christians were, but it's not the way the modern Christians are. And we have links on the society on this page to these other areas. So you can go read in more detail about what the conflict of the church really was. Why was Rome having such trouble with Christians? Why did they persecute some of their people? Because of this conflict. They were so united and self-disciplined that they thrived during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Historians called them a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire, with no central leader ruling over them. Can you live that way? Do you want to live that way? Do you want to seek to live that way for your children so that you will not be cursing your children with debt? Well, then let's turn around. Let's start walking that way. See how far we can get. Pray for help amongst yourselves and become the change you want to see in society. So anyway, we've gotten through that, and we still have a little bit of time left in this program. So anyway, you can read that article in the associated article, and eventually we'll put the audios up there with that. The other conversation that I've been having this week was with a fellow, goes by a moniker of Moshe, which is supposed to be like Moses, and somebody gave him that name. It's not his original name or anything, and he's very politically active, and he has a website, and so I have a conversation with Moshe, and it was mostly on Facebook. Somebody asked me to come onto Facebook, and they were having trouble with him seeing a few things, and I didn't realize it, but I actually came across this fellow once before, and he had contacted me by phone, and he said he was excited about our network, the Living Network, and he says, yeah, I want to become a part of that because I want to take that over. And I thought, like, strange terminology, because take it over? How are you going to take over the network? I mean, I started the network, and I can't even control. Yes, we're the guys who don't exercise authority. We're not going to take over anything. We're giving you an opportunity to take back the responsibilities of your life. So anyway, I went on his Facebook and shared a few things with him. I didn't continue the conversation that he was having with this other individual, but I just started all new. And it had to do with property rights originally. So I actually put up a page on the Preparing You site that talks a little bit about property rights. And of course, we have lots of articles and we cover that in books. And a lot of people think that their property rights are being violated by the government. And I'm not going to say that there aren't abuses out there, because there certainly are. I mean, property is actually being stolen by people in government who are trying to benefit from their positions of power. And you're going to always have that when you have a centralized authority. But he thinks that this is because somebody has usurped the Constitution. And basically, that's not true. They don't even understand. They do not even understand how the Constitution works. And I gave him, just start off with the property rights, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1. It states, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, or pass any law impairing the obligation of contract. Well, if you purchase property with a note, you create a contract. It's a constructive contract, but it's a contract. And we're not going to be able to get to all this in that I cover in this article and other articles that are related to this, because I connect to other articles as well. But basically, you have all kinds of contracts that the government is enforcing, and they can't make any laws impairing that obligation of contract. And if you purchase property with somebody else's promise to pay, somebody else's note, that property is held in trust. You only have legal title after that. And a legal title, and people think, well, everybody has a legal title, that's what you want. No, it isn't what you want. I mean, maybe what you want, but it isn't a lawful title. It isn't present title. It isn't true and actual title. A legal title is an apparent title that carries with it no beneficial interest. The beneficial interest is the right to use the property. If you pay $100,000 for a piece of property and you get legal title, you don't have the right to use it. You must pay a use tax, rent, upon that property. You are the first lessor. And therefore, when you pay your property tax, you now get to use it. But next year, if you want to use it, you have to pay your property tax. Go without paying your property tax for a couple of years, and they will take the land away from you. You are tenant farmers. They tell you how much you have to pay to stay on the farm. And they have that power. You're serfs. You're in a feudal system. You call it federal, but it's feudal. And actually, the word federal comes from the word feudal. I'm not telling you to rebel or to get all excited and shake your fist at the government. I'm just telling you how it works. And my father said that they weren't going to like me because I was willing to tell you how it works. I'm not trying to make any money off of you. I want you just to understand the truth, because I know eventually, if you get the whole truth, it will set you free, and I want you to be free. But I only want you to be free if you're willing to take your responsibilities back and participate in a free society, which means a responsible society. You see, that's why I tell you that all our books are given away for free. Free. We give them away for free. You can't read them for free. You read them, you obtain an obligation to either pass it on to somebody else or to share it with somebody else or to pay Christ back by loving your neighbor as yourself. You are going into debt to God, because the only reason I'm here to be able to share this with you is because God has made it possible. I was supposed to die many years ago. Didn't do it. I'm still alive. I'm not going to be here forever, probably. Not here. I'll be somewhere else forever. But that's between me and my God. What you do with what I give you is between you and God, because what I give you belongs to God. And now you either give back to me or to one of the ministers or to somebody you know that's needy or to some poor lost sheep somewhere, or you don't. If you don't, I can't help you. I can't be there for you. I can't be an intercessor for you. I'm not really one anyway. But I know this, that you don't get anything for free. Everything costs somebody something. And if you are freely given to, you must freely give to others. It is the obligation. And if I charge you, I would be putting less burden on you than if I didn't charge you. Because there's more burden with the fact that I have given it to you freely. Because now you have no excuse not to give equal value to somebody else freely. You see, and this is how you walk the path, participating in the same kind of giving that Christ gave with. You see, as you receive, so also you must give. Christ came to give his life so that others would have life more abundant, and you must do the same, or you are not following Christ. So anyway, you can read that on property rights at preparingyou.com, and it'll take you to other places where you can read it in more detail, and where we have links to audios. You can listen whole hour and 2 hour long audios. And then you can link actually to conversation with Moshe, and it's mostly a conversation that took place on Facebook. But then I saved it over so that other people could read it and see how the mindset can drag you off in the wrong direction and how you can find the right direction, because by their fruits you shall know them. Where is righteousness? That's what we're supposed to be seeking, righteousness, not self-righteousness. So until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.